Yes, this is the 146 Experience, and you know we always like to have special guests here and sharing their talents, whether it be music-wise or poetry. And I have on the line Roger Blenman. How are you doing today, sir?
I am fine. Thank you, Chris.
Good. Now, for those who don't know, Roger Blenman is a well-known poet, soon-to-be author, and he's done a lot of poetry not only in Toronto but in Vancouver as well. How long have you been doing poetry overall?
I think the person's first poem begins when they draw their first breath, because that cry is an attempt to communicate. And that's all poetry is. It's a communication.
Okay. So from your very first breath, is that's what you felt? You've been just writing down the poems and just letting it come out from a very young age. You also did a lot of drama growing up as well, whether it be in church or even from your school, being as a teacher. How's that experience, just sharing your talents with young people, whether as a teacher or in the church or so forth?
I think it's been one of my most memorable things, and one of the things I think I've been most privileged to do, and that is to not only share drama with audiences, but introduce people to the art of sharing drama with an audience. That's an incredible thing. It's a privilege to get on stage, and I think that's the most interesting place to be. It's more interesting than the audience, because you are generating what's going on. You're being the creative one.
And if you were to look back at all the years of doing this theater, whether it be poetry or otherwise, is there one particular time that stands out for you and says, hey, this is just, it's been worth it to do this?
Oh, there's been a lot of moments like that. There's a moment when you connect with the audience, when if you can see them, or sometimes all you can do is hear them because the lights are on you and they're in the darkness, and you feel the energy going back and forth, and you know that you have them, and you know that your message is going home. It's an incredible feeling.
Definitely, and I understand you have a poet here for us today. That's for 146 Experience fans. What's that poem all about, and the title, actually?
This is called Joshua Fit the Battle. This one appeared in an anthology called Bluesprint, which is Black British Columbian Literature and Orature, and this was published about 2009.
Awesome. Well, the floor is yours.
Joshua fit the battle. Joshua fit the battle of, when I caught Joshua, no priest ram's horn a blow. On my street, oh no, there's a woman with a pushcart going real slow. Where the avenue meets the boulevard, where the sign says no stopping, no time, there's a corner store. Sells paper and smokes and gum, and last week got held up with a gun. Oh, Joshua fit the battle of, on my block, on my street, by my home, there's a woman in high heels and a red leather skirt, and I go by wondering how she feels out here alone. How's the night, I ask, and she says, it's all right. It's the night that's all right. Oh, Joshua fit the battle of, the city wants me to follow the flashing light of the ambulance or the pizza and phone 911 and stay on the line. What? Haven't got the time. Haven't got no time. Oh, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Back on my street, my block, at the end of the day or in the morning, I open the door and I say, creep, stay out. John down the hall shouts more, because shaming John is shaming the neighbor. Hey, buddy, shame on you, shame. Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of, and whose walls go bang, bang. I hate the noise. I hate the music. I hate you. Pass you in the halls, and I hate you and your smiles. And I just want to sleep. Go bang, bang. Keep bang the noise, bang. Keep bang the noise, bang. I just want to sleep. Now, Joshua, he was a good man. Prayed both night and day. My Lord heard him praying, and victory came that. Fit me in a survey of consumer habits. You want to know my way of buying toothpaste. I grab it hard and fast off the shelf, buy it and use it so it's going to last. There's no story ever been told like the Battle of Jericho, and no battle between the sidewalk and the buzzer and the door and the stairs and the door and you're in. So close the door behind you. Lock them out. Lock him out. Lock her out. Lock them out of your evening. Out of your life. You're trying to lock the city out of your city life. Oh, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling. And that's my poem.
Amen. Thank you so much. That was awesome. That was absolutely awesome. I gotta ask you, in a poem like that, or any type of poem that you do, where does the inspiration come from, and how long does it take you to write a poem like this?
That poem came from seeing how people were trying to live in the city, but then ignoring the problems of the city. I hope you got that when I referenced the people who are in the city and they're doing all sorts of activities, and some of them are good activities, some of them are very bad activities, but we hide from them, we close our doors when those people need us, they need our help, they need our attention, they need to be seen by us. And instead we walk past them and we just close our doors, because even though we're living in the city, we shut our doors against the city. And so that's where that inspiration came from, is seeing that Vancouver or any big city is a bit like Jericho. It's full of all sorts of things, but we should fight the battle of the city, not ignore the problems of the city.
That is so true. That is so true. And I mean, it's a vague example, but one example I see is like, you know, when you're driving a car and you see an accident on the side of the road, everyone slows down. Mm-hmm. But it's you know, who stops is the main thing. Like, who's going to be that good Samaritan to actually stop and help that person mm-hmm. out? And that's the vague thing I see. But you're right. It like walking on the streets, seeing people homeless and so forth. That's when you should really just do that good Samaritan thing. Stop instead of walking by.
Yeah, just stop. And even if you talk to someone. I'm not saying you give money to everybody, because you may not know where your money's going, but you can stop and you can acknowledge the person's existence. You don't walk past them like they don't exist, because they are a human being like you.
True, true. And hey, who knows? We could be there one day, because we're all, like I said, we're always one paycheck away from just being in that someone's situation. Mm-hmm. So it is true that we could be in their situation, and we just got to say hi, and maybe that hi lifts their spirits.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you so much for being a part of the show today, my friend.
You are very welcome.
Dean, I hope to have you on real soon.
All right, take care.
You too.